This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk. My guest is Kevin Powers, here with his outstanding debut novel called The Yellow Birds. Welcome to our program.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
What's happening as your book opens up?
As the book opens up, our narrator is beginning to tell the story of what happened to him and his much younger friend, Private Daniel Murphy, their time in Iraq, and the difficulty he has coming home.
And they're two soldiers.
They are. They're both young soldiers, yes.
Tell us about the title, The Yellow Birds of the title.
Mm-hmm. Well, it comes from, the direct references to an army marching cadence that struck me in a way because I hadn't thought about that in a really long time. It's a marching cadence that I'm sure I must have sung hundreds of times. But as I was writing this book, I looked at it again and I was stunned at the way it handles violence. And I was also stunned that it had never occurred to me before. And that was something that really, both fascinated me and frightened me a little bit, that it had had that effect on me to kind of numb me to that. So I hoped that placing it where I did as the epigraph of the book, that it might give that same reaction to a reader.
Who's your narrator?
His name is John Bartle. He's a young private from Nowheresville, Virginia. And he's finding himself in a situation on his way in Iraq and coming home that he has an incredibly difficult time coming to terms with. I think part of his telling the story is an attempt to make sense of that experience, to try to make it fit into some kind of order.
Well, this is a novel, but you're a vet of the Second Gulf War, serving in the U.S. Army in 2004, 2005. Where you were deployed as a machine gunner.
That's right.
So even though it's a novel, this is a telling of a tale of some things that you witnessed.
Right. Well, the way I think about it is, it's probably easiest for me to describe it by saying it's a work of the imagination that probably wouldn't have happened without the experiences that I had.
Right.
So the specific events, what happens to these characters in the book, are not things that happened to me directly, but what I do, I identify strongly with the kind of interior life of these characters, the emotional significance of what they go through, and that was really what I wanted to focus on.
Why did you enlist when you were 17?
There are a number of reasons. I come from a family where military service, while not sort of a tradition in any official way, it just seems that it's done. My father served in the military, both of my grandfathers, as was of course more common at that time. I wasn't encouraged to do it, and nobody in my family ever made a career out of it, but it felt like a valid option. I wasn't from a poor family or anything, but I was attracted by the prospect of having my college paid for. And then I have to acknowledge the fact that I was very young, and I had some romantic ideas about adventure and seeing the world and things like that.
Was your experience of a typical day in combat similar to your characters?
I suppose in a way it was. I had something of a different job, but the kind of, the kinds of things that he feels, the kind of the awe that he experiences, it's not something, fortunately, that I had to deal with on a daily basis or anything. But no, I was in a position where I was familiar with the kinds of emotions that he's describing as he's looking back on his own experience, sure.
Who is John's best friend in the book?
Daniel Murphy, who is his friend by default in a way. He's kind of has this relationship thrust upon him, which he resists a little bit at first. They share a similar background in some ways. They're both from Virginia. Daniel's from probably a more remote area of the country. He's more naive. He's sort of more fragile.
He's younger.
He is younger, too. That relationship comes to sort of define John's life, and the decisions that he makes, the kind of responsibility that he feels towards him. It becomes the most important relationship that he's ever had and probably ever will have.
Well, there's a translator, an Iraqi translator, who's introduced early in the book, who soon dies in battle. Do your characters think much about the Iraqis in the countryside or in the villages? Is that just not part of the job description?
I think, you know, I think for them, they're primarily concerned with their own survival. But there are moments where, and again, I wanted to show just how young and naive that they are. There are moments when that recognition of just how strange it is for them to be in another person, you know, another country that they really don't have any claim to. So there are moments, for instance, when Bartle describes seeing the fires of these people who have been moved from their homes, and that he still thinks of them. But no, I mean, their primary concern, as is common for people their age, and particularly given the kind of extreme nature of the circumstances they find themselves in. Yeah, I'd say their primary concern is themselves. Yeah.
Could this story and these characters have appeared in a novel about any other war?
Well, I guess it depends. I mean, what I was interested in thinking about, and what, you know, the kind of things that the questions that I had, the impulse to examine my own experience, probably was less politically oriented or specific to Iraq than it was a story about a relationship and a story about responsibility and what does it mean to try to do a good thing and fail. And I think that those elements of the story have probably existed as long as people have decided that war was something that should be engaged in. So mm-hmm. certain aspects of it probably would be different. I mean, there is this kind of cyclical nature of what they're engaged in. They seem to be repeating the same kinds of battles, and they find themselves doing the same thing over and over again, which also is not unique to Iraq, but there are some wars that are, I think, a little different.
Well, somewhere in your book you refer to it's not your grandfather's war.
That's right, yeah.
So how do you mean?
Well, just the idea that, one, that there was a purpose that everybody agreed on, that there was a recognizable finish line, you know, that you understood this war will be over when this happens, which isn't the case in Iraq or Afghanistan. I mean, I don't know that I haven't heard a convincing description of what that endpoint will be, what kind of line we're trying to cross. So I think that's something that at least sets it apart from the Second
Grandfather.
World War. Yeah.
When did you know you would write this book?
Probably about a year after I got back.
What's the question you're asked the most at book signings?
Well, let's see. I mean, I think probably the most common question is how much does my experience overlap with the narrators?
Yes.
And I do get asked about that cadence a lot, the title,
mm-hmm.
the epigraph. Yeah.
The Yellow Birds.
Mm-hmm.
What's a Michener fellow in poetry?
So James Michener
mm-hmm.
endowed a writing program at the University of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
They offer fellowships for fiction writers, playwrights, screenwriters, and poets. And they let you live in Austin, Texas for 3 years and work on your whatever your project is, poetry,
mm-hmm.
fiction, whatever you're interested in.
Were you working on this book there?
I was. I started it probably a year and a half before I got there, and I would say that a significant portion of the work
mm-hmm.
that went into the book was done there.
What's next for you?
Well, I have a collection of poems that I'm, I think, very close to being finished with, and then I've just started kind of thinking and taking notes for my second novel. So,
will the characters be living in a war?
The characters will be. Some of them will be survivors of war. Some of them will be. It's going to be set just after the end of the Civil War.
Well, thank you. My guest is Kevin Powers, author of The Yellow Birds, published by Little Brown. This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk.
Thank you.
You're welcome.